Let's go.
Me, my guys, we really live. Lord, forgive me, pay my tithes. Please don't have me reach inside in the center console. Keep the semi when I ride. Let off Henny when I drive. In the city, we gon' slide. Bet I be there pronto.
Well, hey, we cleaned it up real good. Like Jaina asked the question, how y'all feel about Chauvin sentencing? Jaina, make sure you get on YouTube as soon as this is over and start from the beginning, because we talked about that in the Snapchat and definitely had a dope conversation about that. We slid over to talk about Nick Cannon, and now we sliding over to the last chop of the night. I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to the I got stuck for a second.
You know my name. But you know, we ain't even talking no politics tonight. We talking about the BET Awards.
Oh my god.
Because I wanna talk about it because it was interesting. Me and my wife, when it came up, when I saw that the BET Awards was happening, I looked at her and was like, you know, we're not watching that, right? Because she doesn't really care about these things until she sees that they're happening, and then she's like, yeah, I want to watch it. Good thing, that's why it's a good thing we got two TVs in the crib. So, because if it was, that's a whole nother thing. But it was a few things that came out of it that was big, that really had a lot of conversation going. You was either pissed or you was proud, depending on what's
the good way to put it.
Or somewhere in the middle. But before we get into the actual like specifics of the BET Awards, I want to talk about BET in general, because I feel like when we were coming up, like, you know, we're 90s kids, early 2000s adults. You feel me? Like we grew up. By the time 2010 hit, we was grown. You feel me? So we grew up in the 90s. We was becoming adults in the early 2000s. And BET meant something uniquely different back then than it does now. It meant something way different back then than it does now. What was some of the things that stood that made BET dope to y'all? Because one, you had to have cable. I know Toya had cable. Her mama worked for the school district, so she had money.
Mama worked for the city of Kansas City.
For the city. I knew it was the school district or the city. I knew it was one of them.
You were.
I want to start with Toya because I know she had cable. What was some of the well, you had cable at your grandma's house, George. Stop playing.
This nigga ain't shit.
What was some of the shit that stood out to you? What was dope about BET to you coming up?
I think the variety of programming. You know, I was alive when Team Summit was on. I was alive when
Team Summit. Stop playing. What y'all know about Team Summit? Hits on the streets.
You know what I'm saying? Like hits from the streets. College Hill. It was just a variety. It was when BET was thriving, right? Hill, so,
even fucking Baldwin Hills. Even Baldwin Hills.
Even I think BET. It was BET News. Like it was, they was competing with MTV News. You know what I'm saying? Kurt Loder and them used to pop on. And what was
niggas
that?
We had Tavis Smiley. Smiley on BET,
right? And yeah. So I appreciated just the variety. You know what I'm saying? A lot of different stuff.
106 at fucking Park. 106.
If I didn't say it, 106. Yeah,
you know 106 in Park was way better than TRL. Stop playing.
Agreed. Yeah. Agree, and even for like the new year when they used to play the 100 hottest videos or songs for the
It started with a P. What was it called? It was the it was something, but they played 100 videos at the end of the year on New Year's Eve. They played the top 100 videos of the amazing year, bro.
And this was back when I actually took the time out to watch music videos. Now
Freestyle Fridays.
Freestyle Friday used to be something crazy. Blind Fury, shout out to Blind Fury.
Shout out to Blind Fury. I follow him on TikTok.
But yeah, that was my heyday with BET. Just good times, watching great things, great memories. Running home after school to try to get caught up and being entertained all day long in a bunch of different ways.
George,
what about you, Lee?
Pretty much same experiences, man. I feel like growing up, BET was always cool because it captivated. I feel like the more raw, non-politically correct part of Black culture, that was like good for the entertaining of black people by black people for black people. Mm-hmm. And I think that they must change their shit. They start being like, we're going to give black people what we think black people should have through the perspective and lens of white people. Or we're going to give black people what they what we think they want.
We're going to get to that.
With a little tad bit of respectability with it.
Yeah,
that's what I thought they gotta get into. But I feel like that's what made that shit dope back then. BET Uncut, be able to see things like that, you know.
BET Uncut.
Comic View, nigga.
I mean, DL Hughley, Cedric the Entertainer. Like, I mean, it's a list of niggas who was just made like from
Arnaz J.
Arnaz fucking J, bro. What is y'all talking about? I'm telling you, like, ET coming to you nice week. Get your laugh on. Get your laugh on. That's what I'm saying. Like BT was just like when it came to like. When it,
like TV,
it,
like,
it was
like,
black.
What do you think about? I feel like growing up, TV was a lot blacker than we realized. With like a lot,
a lot of black
TV shows. I'm talking about BET, so I'm leaving the BET. But
yeah,
I realized today driving back from Texas. God damn it, they're growing up. TV was a lot blacker than I realized.
I mean, I used to love the fact that BET got to be the hero for shows that got canceled on like UPN and shit. Remember when they saved the game? When you know we had an immediate ability to watch Girlfriends again. Jamie Foxx, and not new episodes, but still episodes that we had access to, the Jamie Foxx show, the Wayans Brothers, Martin, like just kind of a consistent rotation of just good black sitcoms.
BET was just, it was the vibe. Like when it came to like, again, black comedy, black music, you know, just blackness, like black pranks, black tea. It was just all like, it was a fucking vibe. Even if we take it back further, we was really young when this shit was on with what was like Video Soul.
Yeah,
you feel me? With I'm mad I can't remember his name right now, but what say his name? With the hazel eyes, you know who I'm talking about.
Donnie Simpson. You put me on the game show. I'm ready to win. Yeah, that's I promise you. His name is Donnie Simpson.
Donnie Simpson. You're right. It's Donnie.
And here's where I need your help. Sunday mornings, the only time in my house you was allowed to watch TV on Sunday mornings was if you was watching BT and watching what's man's name? You know the old black man who
Cornelius.
No, his name is not. It's Frick. What is his name? The black man who's a popular religious kind of person in the gospel community. It's just like an OG.
I know you're talking about.
Older black man, wear glasses, but that was the only thing we was allowed to watch. If the TV was going to be on, it had to be him on there on Sunday mornings.
Right.
Not Ricky Smiley. I'm gonna think of it in a second and be mad, but BET had a heyday. You know what I'm saying? We definitely enjoyed that, and the time passed. As people have identified in the comments, BET got sold to Viacom. Bobby Jones, come on, Marcel, what's up? That's why I love having the comments live, because I knew somebody was gonna hold out for me if I held it out.
Bobby Jones.
Bobby Jones gospel, baby. If it wasn't Bobby Jones, it was not
Bobby
playing.
Bobby Jones,
it was not playing. And it was
a short stint when BET had like that early morning Saturday kids programming. You feel me? They played with some shit. You feel me? They was trying to get the Gullah Gullah Island and, you know what I'm saying, that type of vibe, but they ain't get there yet. But yeah, so like, man, when we was coming up, BET was really some black shit. And at one point, Bob Johnson, right?
Yeah,
Bob Johnson.
Yeah, Bob Johnson. Bob Johnson sold BET a lot of money. He ate that. Now I want to transition from that to, when did y'all start realizing BET wasn't shit?
For me, when they started showing,
hold on, not the infomercial though with the nigga screaming.
I can't remember his name. Right, Pastor Kearney.
Pastor Kearney. Yes.
Pastor Kearney Thomas.
Pastor Kenny Thomas was on J. Cole album, Boy and Sinner, his second album, bro. Like, yeah, you receive a miracle. Yeah. Like, yo, oh my God. Yes, you know, that's when you knew you was up too late. But go ahead, Joel.
You know, it's up too late. I feel like for me, it's twofold. When I got old enough and learned and really understood the vulgarity of Tip Drill video and them sliding credit cards through asses and shit, really seeing that was crazy. I was like, damn, they really ain't shit. Yeah. But then they started running like movies, and they'll run the same movie all week. And then, like, when you watch the movie, the cuss word to be like
Mickey Freaky
motherfucker, yeah. It'll be like
Mickey Freaky, bro. That's the first time I heard Mickey Freaky. I'm like, man, you stupid Mickey Freaky. And then the nigga voice change. It sounded like a completely different nigga. Bro, it's when they played fucking Holiday Heart 9 times in a row. I'm like, bro, I've seen this movie like 6 times. Every weekend I'm watching Holiday Heart. Every fucking weekend.
I got the bank holiday.
It's a beautiful. Is it? Blessa. I love me some Holiday Heart. That's a beautiful thing. We don't need to watch it 15 times. I agree with Vance. When they took off AJ and Free, I was like, we all know good things. All good things have to come to an end. But I really hated
when fucking
that was the end of an era.
What was that nigga? What was his name? The nigga that won it, Terrence J.
Terrence J. And Roxy.
God.
And then it went to Bow Wow and Roxy, or Bow Wow and somebody else.
I hated Terrence J. Oh my, he was the worst.
I suffered through him for a couple evolutions, couple times.
That nigga was a contest winner. That nigga was a contest winner.
You gotta start from somewhere. You're not getting that up on, like, you know what I'm saying? So that part of it, I can appreciate. Terrence J was terrible, but I get the come up. You know what I'm saying? How niggas had to slide through the back door. Like, I do.
He's still on. I think he do like ETV or something now these days.
I think so too.
Yeah,
AJ went and got, you know, a job, I think, at E, and did a whole separate thing, cut off the locks and had a little haircut and was, you know, doing his commentary thing on it. You know, somewhere else. So people ate off of that. You know what I'm saying? And I think that was dope.
And look, I'm not going to, I'm in an attempt to not do too much, I'm going to say, as a young man, oh, Free. Oh, Free.
You stupid guy.
Hey, I'm just, bro, like, nigga, I ain't going to do too much, but Free.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I will say, I think for me, losing them was a great sign. And I think as I got older and started really not knowing to call it the multiplicity of blackness, but recognizing that black people were like so many things and being like, ain't no cooking show, ain't no this, ain't no that. But here's the thing, it was though, because G Garvin, I think, used to have a show on there. So it used to, or Miss B Smith, it used to be a couple of people who had stuff on BT. And that kind of brings me to, and I don't want to transition out of nothing too quickly, but that brings me to this place where I wonder, I think BT has been in a conundrum that they haven't been able to figure out their way out of. And I get it. You know what I'm saying? Because partway, you know what I mean? I think BT had different attempts to have diverse programming on there. And a lot of black people wasn't overly receptive to a lot of that. You know what I'm saying? That people niggas didn't gravitate. The ratings wasn't there for it. But the other side of it was that I don't think they do enough work to stay the course and to continue to not be put into a box and be stereotyped.
They're pushing advertising.
With the shit that they do provide. So there have been no redemptive moves to bring people back in, bring people back to the table and really entice them and entice their appetite to watch and to sit on BET. So it's a failure on both sides. I think the viewers have failed BET, and I think BET have failed the viewers. You know what I'm saying? In a lot of weird ways, and so it sucks.
I agree with that wholeheartedly too, Toy. I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's a two-way street.
I think niggas have been
exactly. I mean, like, niggas really kind of didn't. We loved BET for what they gave us, but we didn't work with them. That was the problem. We didn't work with BET like we should have. But I want to transition that over, because I don't want to stay too long on this conversation. Mm-hmm. But I do want to transition over to the actual BET Awards, because I think for a long time, don't nobody give a fuck about the BET Awards.
It's sad, because once upon a time it was hot.
It was
BET Awards was the shit.
Yeah, it was. Period. It. But I think we've gotten to a point that it just doesn't have the it no more. You feel me? It just doesn't have like that. And so before we get into the controversy, What do y'all think the BET Awards is missing that doesn't do enough to keep bring us in? I got one more question after this.
I think the BET Awards is missing full-fledged support, but honestly, and I don't want to be as minimalistic as this because once upon a time she did, but people like Rihanna, people like Beyonce, a lot of important people who shape and round out the culture have opted out of these types of experiences, which devalues.
And that's a part of the problem. Yeah.
Right. And so, again, we become our own worst enemies when people have made the calculated kind of perception that that ain't really, and they gonna show me love anyway. Beyonce can clean up at the BET Awards and never pull up. And not that she, you know, she loves the people. She's for the people. She loves Black folks. So I'm not overriding Beyonce and Jay-Z's investment because I feel like they have been in the mix of it here lately. But I feel like between
people like that, though, they're not going to make it bad.
Yeah, the watering down and the gentrification of Viacom for everything that is BET just created a growth spurt in the product and the brand that they were never able to pull back from. We don't really bang with Monique no more, but she used to be a great host for the show and brought a lot of interest in, you know, and you know, the shows have to grow and change and people age out of it and stuff like that. But I don't know, somewhere along this line, it just lost its captivation and appeal. And just like Black folks do, they start, oh, let's not forget this part. Right. And this is where we get back to bigger conversations about award shows. People start seeing BET Awards is not as good or as important or comparable to things like Grammys and to other accolades and awards.
Hell, even a fucking MTV Movie Awards. God damn it. That shit got more prestige.
I dare to believe a Soul Train Award might hold more weight with people than getting the
fucking Essence Awards.
You know, honestly. And so I think perceptually over time, and this has always been the case, even coming in as hot as the BET Award was, it wasn't no Grammy. It ain't no Grammy. And so we end up being in a place where we wasn't celebrating our people for our shit and our accolades and our platforms. And that has been the demise of And don't ask me why.
I just got one more question after this, George. What you think is missing?
I think for the BET Awards, I feel like they're missing like the host and they're missing the damn promoting and advertising good enough no more. I think that they promoted and advertised the good on social media a little bit better and like being able to like stream it live, you know what I'm saying? Because I thought something that was just obvious to me watching this is that the audio quality of the performances was horrible to me. Like the audio quality, like just hearing them, it didn't sound good. Like a lot of their performances to me, just the quality just didn't sound good. So it's like, y'all step y'all game up, BZ.
So you just feel, even like technically they ain't even execute the way that they should.
Execute it, man.
Yeah. So the last thing we'll get to, which you know is more of a response to, and that's the controversy associated with there were some major kisses involved in the BET Awards. So you had, I think it was like three niggas kissing, you know what I'm saying, on Lil Nas X performance. And then you had what's her name? Young Miami and Meg Thee Stallion kissing like a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? So what do y'all feel about, I mean, in terms of just give y'all 2 cents on the backlash? Because we've had conversations about the like how little Nas X approaches certain shit, and kind of how he triggers a lot of motherfuckers. What is y'all perspective on the backlash associated with these queer kisses, if you will?
I think this is one of the reasons why BET been losing. You feel me? It's been so steeped in ratchetness and respectability politics on like some binary shit that it seems like they always been able to weaponize it against Black LGBTQ people, because they also had some trans representations for the first time on BET Awards. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, I feel like that's what that, like the way that we already knew backlash was going to happen from Lil Nas X kissing a dude, the way we already knew homophobia was going to happen, it to me is just show why BET be losing, because they play in and pander into people's predispositions, kind of like the Shade Room dude. You feel me? Set motherfuckers up just to be talked about, you know what I mean?
Because I know it's gonna be a conversation.
That's my 2 cents on that.
I won't give too much to BET on that. I definitely think that is part of it, but you know, I think Lil Nas X is definitely on the campaign to let niggas know he's here, queer, and ready to be in the mix of every. So I'm, you know, certain that that was just as much a part of the
here queer and making it clear.
Hello, somebody. You know what I'm saying? That this is it. Because even today, one of his tweets was like, I have put y'all been on alert for 4 months and y'all still falling the damn apart about me kissing the man on the screen. I just don't understand what the confusion is. We've been in this for the better part of a year, like a good quarter of a year now. You're surprised for what? And he had a point there. You know what I'm saying? So all of that. Now, there are two sides to what I'm about to say about the Megan and Carisha kiss. I don't know why I keep calling her Carisha, please. The Young Miami kiss. And I'm going to preface it by saying that because I understand what I'm saying, how it could be misinterpreted. Queerness, number one, and here's side one. Queerness does not have to be announced. You can kiss who you want to. You can kiss other women. You can kiss people and do what you want to with your sexuality and it be unquestioned. You don't have to make an announcement about it. But what I also will say is that there is a habit and a tendency for a lot of non-queer people to do shit for the shock value. I think Lil Nas X shock value approach was grounded and rooted in a whole lot more change in the conversation, being
counter-hegemonic energy.
Exactly, being more counter-hegemonic. And then you have situations where you have Megan and Young Miami where they're not queer, they don't identify with those politics, they are clear when pressed about those things. Megan is in a whole relationship, heterosexual, and again, that does not invalidate queerness. I understand that. I preface my statement by saying that. But that's where it starts to get annoying. At least Nikki was bold enough to say, yeah, I'm bi, and then, you know what I'm saying, I acknowledged her sexuality. But you get women kissing, and it's just like, you got to remember that a huge part of sexualization and hypersexuality for women is to see them kiss, and that feeds into the fantasy, the heterosexual fantasies for men. You know what I'm saying? So, I get it. I see it. I love it. I celebrate it, but I take it with a grain of salt only because I know that it's some bullshit agenda and shock value behind that shit too. It's cool. It's the cool thing to do.
Yeah, and that's definitely kind of plays into when we talk about that. Women kissing plays into a heteronormative, hypersexual aspect of the conversation that kind of goes against what Lil Nas X was kind of trying to hedge, you know what I'm saying? Trying to challenge, you feel me?
You shouldn't have to look like Young MA, you know what I'm saying? To like have your queer kiss be validated, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like, Kehlani ain't the only person who,
because a queer kiss with Young MA and a woman wouldn't have the same reaction than like two more feminine women would have kissing each other,
exactly. And so Khadija, you know, basically summed up what I was saying in essence. They got to stop the performative bisexuality. You know what I'm saying? It represents, I don't really identify as nothing. I'm definitely queer. I definitely just identify as, I like people who like, I don't like everybody who like me, but I like who like me. You know what I'm saying? I like good people. I like quality people and good personalities. That being said, you know what I'm saying? The hate be strong for people who are attracted to who they attracted to. And that's wild to me.
I'm going to say this and we can get ready to close it out.
Stretch my head like a mug.
You good. But we're gonna clear it up. We're gonna close it out. What bothers me the most about this is the way that this type of normativity is normalized. Mm-hmm. Like the way that this backlash becomes a part of this larger conversation of quote unquote what we're teaching our children type shit. We've had conversations about how Lil Nas X, when he was talking about Old Town Road, y'all shouldn't have y'all kids listening to that shit. No way. Yeah. But there's this narrative that's being pushed that Lil Nas X is attempting to turn your kids gay, pretty much. And what that does is it then justifies the type of violence that we see that plays out against young black kids who identify as queer in any capacity. Yeah. We missed the opportunity to talk about what was the young man's name, Toya? The young boy. Let me not grow him anymore. The young boy's name, Tyler.
Tyler.
His older brother cutting bullshit into his head, cutting gay into his head, slapping him around on live, all that shit.
Yeah, I might have seen that viral video last week.
Yeah, that becomes justified because of the reaction that people have to what you see with Lil Nas X. And so while you have companies benefiting from the performance, from the shock value of it, like who really has to deal with the backlash of companies making money off of that is the young black kids that are attempting to deal with their sexual identity and the backlash that they get from their own community.
Yeah,
they get mad at Lil Nas X, and then they beat up on their own kids. They beat up on their own family because they mad at Lil Nas X. They blame Lil Nas X and then take it out on the people that they supposed to care about, be there for, take care of, and love. And so that's where these things become dangerous, because like when Toya talks about like that performative bisexuality, or even the performative queerness that sells tickets and gets ratings and gets views and all that other shit, there's another side to that.
The male gaze.
Right. There's another side to that that becomes dangerous. And we saw that play out on a fucking YouTube live of a 12-year-old being beat on by his own family. Like, let's not forget that these things are connected, in the sense that once that outrage, quote unquote, is justified, that backlash is going to impact the material life of a lot of motherfuckers. And that, you know what I mean, that's you can't put a dollar sign on that. You know what I'm saying? Jaleesa, you can't put no ratings on that.
Jaleesa posed a question to you, plug.
What'd she say?
Are you saying it should have been on there because people are assholes?
No, I'm definitely not saying it shouldn't have been on there. My criticism isn't of the performance itself, but how the response becomes justified, how people what people utilize to justify the violence that they carry out. And it's like, you know, you got to use whatever platform you can to get your message across, or to represent what it is that you want to represent. Mm-hmm. But while we jump again, because there are people who will criticize Lil Nas X, but then they'll be like, that's fucked up what happened to Tyler. But you got to understand that when you justify that criticism, you end up justifying the violence that happens to young people like that. And my message is more to them, because I think there are people that are more so in the middle, to where they would say, I disagree with what happened to what Lil Nas X was doing, but I also think what happened to Tyler is super fucked up. But if you justify your disagreement with Lil Nas X, it justifies what happened to Tyler.
Yeah,
that's what needs to be understood.
Hey, when it's all said and done, everybody would be helped out if they stop sexualizing kids. I think that, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's always my motto. Stop sexualizing children. Understand. And if you're going to do it, not even if you're going to do it, stop sexualizing kids, and understand every time you call somebody a little boy, a little heartbreaker, tell them how handsome he is. Talk about all the little boys and little girlfriends he might have at preschool or at kid, all of that shit is A, sexualizing kids and playing into that shit. And B, if those things wouldn't make him straight, if those things you've been teaching him and showing him repeatedly since he's been born has not conditioned him to be straight, thinking he's supposed to be showing up for female attention, thinking he's supposed to be handsome to other little girls or whatever, and he ends up being gay, guess what? Probably because he was going to be gay anyway. Because you've been conditioning him to be gay. Calling him handsome, telling these little heartbreakers, saying he's going to get out of little girlfriends since he was little. And he didn't respond to that shit. So he was already on that path. There was nothing anybody could have done about it. Take that burden off of yourself. Relax a little bit and enjoy the damn award show.
Straight, man.
Enjoy the damn award show.
Yeah. So we miss BET. Bring it back. I don't think they can. I think it's lost. We don't need some new shit. We need some new shit. But yeah, you can go ahead and close it out to you. That's it for the culture chat.
Yeah, hey, listen, we done talked about Derek Chauvin's 22.5 year sentence for the snapshot. 4th of July is happening around here, so excuse the fireworks and agitated puppy. But we done talked about Derek Chauvin in that sentence. We even had a conversation about Nick Cannon, aka Father Abraham, who had many sons and even many daughters. And then
Father Abraham had many sons.
Last but certainly not least, we have talked about the BET Awards, about the transformation and evolution of BET in all the wrong directions. And we talked about the queerness that was represented there and how we kind of feel like that resonated and impacts other real life situations, like the terrorism of our young queer or potentially queer, might not even be queer, young people that we're raising up behind us. So a lot of things to think about, a lot of things to consider. If you didn't catch it all, don't worry about it. When we press in, it'll be available on YouTube. So go ahead and run it back. It's also going to be on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. It's up on Facebook. Y'all really can't miss us. Follow us at The Chop Up Show, at The Chop Up Show on Instagram. On Twitter is The Chop Up Show Pod, Chop Up Show Pod, at Chop Up Show Pod. And then shoot from there. It's big love to y'all. We heading into July. 2021 is on the move. Okay? We sliding through these months. But shit, it's big love to y'all. Anything from the plug or consciously?
Hey man, everybody stay hydrated. Get your rest. You feel me? As y'all can see, I'm real tired. I'm probably finna go to sleep right after this, man. But then, hey, stay hydrated and get your rest.
Real quick, I do got a debate on July 14th with separating disrupt the impact of white supremacy. It's one of them separation. Should black people separate from America debates? It'll be an interesting one. Solo Vision Debate League on YouTube. Yeah, and follow me at The Political Plug. Y'all know what it is.
Absolutely. Y'all talking some real business in the chat. Definitely keep the conversation going. Make sure y'all press like or love and share this video before y'all get off of here. Real quick, just show us some love. We need some more engagement. We appreciate y'all commenting. Appreciate y'all talking to us all night long. Pinky Promise Life, Malik, Thuria Beauty, Lions Time, Baby, Andrew, Aboard, Sad Bean, shoot, Vance, you've been in the mix. Jaleesi, you've been in the mix. Malcolm, thank y'all. Y'all been hollering at us. Khadijah, all of y'all, we show love to y'all because y'all show love to us. We about this thing. We see y'all next Monday and to the end.
Oh, yeah.
Y'all know how we do. We're going to end the show the way that we start the show. We out.
Me, my guys, we really lie. Lord, forgive me, pay my tithes. Please don't have me reach inside in the center console. Keep the semi when I ride. Little penny when I drive. In the